Well, good morning, church. It's good to be in the house. It's awesome to be here. And I am excited about what God is doing, especially in the concept of what Pastor Joey was just speaking about. And it is Joey I was referring to. For those of you at the 9 o'clock service, I got completely confused between Joey and Frankie. But anyway, like I do every other day. But Pastor Joey was just telling us about Wednesday nights, right? And man, I'm excited about Wednesdays. I just really believe that the Lord wants us to be prepared, ready, genuinely ready, not hype Christianese, theological, look at me, I know my Bible ready, but genuinely prepared to meet people where they're at, to bring them into a relationship with Jesus. And so Wednesday nights is going to be completely interactive. And I'm talking about, hey, can we just give a shout out to all of those folks joining us on the online stream? Hey guys, it's good to have you with us today. We love you. And we think you're pretty awesome because we can do church from wherever we are and still be one body. So, hey guys, thank you so much for joining us. Online is going to be joining us. If you run or lead a life group, that's okay. You can still have your life group. It just means that you're going to have to find another meeting venue because Wednesday is where you normally met here. If you normally met here, you'd have to maybe find another venue. But the life groups can continue meeting on a Wednesday, and we're going to provide them a feed so that their life group can participate in the room, even though they're sitting in their living room. How cool is that? Live. So we'll be taking questions from all the different life groups. If you can't get here on a Wednesday, if you're not in a life group and you want to join in, hey, be sure to keep your eyes out. If you need information about how you can find that feed and get it to your smart TV, get it to your device, whatever you're getting it to, and you'd like to participate but you don't want to come here on a Wednesday night or you can't come here on a Wednesday night, hey, just take out a Connect card and just write on the back, connect me, and give us your email address, and we'll send you the details of how you can get involved on a Wednesday night right from your living room. How cool is that? And we're going to be taking live questions. We'll be taking discussion points from the room. We've got a bank of people prepared to help us study and look up things, look up different Bible versions, look up what the Buddhists believe about that, what the Hindus believe about that, what this one believes about that. We're going to dive deep to make sure that we are ready to meet the world with Jesus. And I'm really, really excited. I was just blessed by Wednesday. Who was blessed by Wednesday? That was awesome. It was good to see the house full on a Wednesday night. And we prayed for people and really seeing breakthrough in a number of people's lives. There was healings here on Wednesday night. There was emotional re-engagement again. And for those who were depressed, there was a zest given back to some people in their lives. And I'm just excited about what happened on Wednesday. So be sure to keep your calendars. I didn't say diaries. Did you notice that? Be sure to keep your calendars ready for the first Wednesday of every month. We've been dealing with the church is for a little while, and I decided that this Friday I was going to bend the knee in submission. No, not to Jesus, but to my wife. She had a honey-do list for me, and we had to visit Home Depot, and as we were visiting Home Depot, the honey-do list got a bit long. And I always know how much work I'm going to do by, have you ever noticed the Home Depot, the slips that they give you from the till are like really long. Have you noticed that? And the longer the honey-do list, the longer the slip from Home Depot, right? Well, we got home and I had like 9 or 10 major things to do. And so I got to work. And guys, DIY guys, get with me here for a moment. But in South Africa, when you do work projects or home projects, you don't have to worry about drilling a hole too big or missing the stud because all of our walls, all of our internal walls, all of our external walls are all brick and mortar. So you can hang up a picture wherever you like. You can mount your TV wherever you like because you don't have to line it up with the studs and stud finders and all this kind of nonsense. And so there I am thinking about hanging up some things and I, you know what it's like? You attach the toilet roll holder to the wall, and it's nice and tight, and then 3 days later, it's loose again because the hole's too big, and you didn't hit the stud, and you know what I'm talking about. I mean, those toilet roll holders need to be tight. And so I got to thinking, you know, I don't want to be attached to Jesus, and some things just slowly but surely life wears away, and I become loose. And I haven't really attached myself. I haven't really bound myself into the studs of what he wants me to do. I want to know that my faith is steeped in Him, attached to Him. My journey in life is through Him and because of Him, and that's never gonna wiggle loose, no matter what kind of hits the fan. Because we're talking about toilet paper, right? So I want to know that I'm attached. I want to know that I'm bound. I want to know that I'm united in this thing called the church. And so I kind of got to thinking, well, hang on. We've done a lot in this series. We've had a look at how the church is commissioned. Remember Vision Sunday, the most nerve-wracking sermon I've ever preached. 2 days on the 2 weeks on the job, and I had to get up and change direction and adjust building programs and ask for permission as regards budgets. Well, you know what? There's a practicality to our work with Jesus. How many of you know that if you never sit down and have a time where you can study the Word and be in His presence, you're eventually going to drift out of relationship with Him? There's an administration to administrating our relationship with God. But that's not our relationship with God. And if we take our administration of our relationship with God too far, it's called religion. Oh, come on. I bumped into somebody in the coffee shop the other day. She said, oh, it's just awesome. The messages are just awesome. A little hard to understand, but I'm enjoying them. I'm going, hey, you know how hard it is for me to understand you guys. But am I talking too fast, right? But we've had a look at the fact that we have been, number two, that we have been equipped. We've been given everything we need to do what the church has been called by Jesus to do. And then we had a look last week that our activity is not just deeds that we do. It's not feeding programs we go on. It's not things that we have to do in the community that's going to make us or turn us into the church. No, it's the posture, the activity of our heart, the activity of our attitude. What are we dwelling on? What's our attitude? Is it one of judgment? Is it one of condemnation? Is it one of grace and acceptance and wanting to invite people into the presence of Jesus so Jesus can change them into how He wants them, not how we want them? Oh, come on, that deserves some clapping. Take out your phones, post it on Instagram, get it on Twitter. Because we have been in a church, capital C church, where you've got to jump through the right hoops to be the same kind of people as the most of the people that are in the church already are so that you can feel like you belong. And we had a look at that word Rehoboth, remember? If you haven't watched that message, man, I already ordered the artwork for my office that says Rehoboth on it. Because I want to remember that message. That wasn't a message that I delivered. That was a message that the Lord laid on our hearts together as a church to be a space for all. Man, this world needs some peace and some unity and some Jesus right now. Amen. I was just listening to somebody at the 9 o'clock service who tells me that there's a fraternity on one of the campuses, not in our state, thank the Lord, but in another state where the boys' fraternity, have to rape a girl on campus to get into the fraternity. And 3 girls have already been raped on campus. And I'm like, what is this world coming to? There's a word for it, and we'll get that just now. But then I decided with the Lord, hey, Lord, what do you want me to preach on in this last series? Because the title was defined already at the beginning of the series. The team got together and we defined where we were going to go with the series. And the title of the church is United. And I thought to myself, okay, cool. That's a cool message to preach. I can speak about how we all need to be like friends. Like I like you. And I do church with you. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. That's an easy message, Lord. And the Lord said, yeah, that's important, but it's not what I want you to preach on when it comes to United. Oh, I got you. I know, Lord. And I even gave you some of the plans. I'm going to get some videos of other pastors in the area going, look how united we are as a church in Brownwood. And the Lord said, you're not united yet, so don't preach about it. Ouch. So I set aside administrating that from the Lord, and I've set aside in my calendar now appointments. And I've actually had somebody reach out to me, and I've reached out to them, and they're in the community, and they know all the pastors in the area very well. And he and I are now journeying together as a project for me to every single Wednesday be at least meeting one pastor. Because I don't want to preach on how the church should be united. I want to get to work at uniting it. Amen? And so the Lord said, okay, it's not the kumbaya. It's not even the ecumenical bake sale. And if you don't know what the word ecumenical is, it's interchurch. Yeah? And it's not even, well, you know, we supported the local Baptist church. We prayed for them, you know. Wow. You unified beast, you. And the Lord said, no, hang on. I need you to clearly help the congregation understand who needs to be unified to what? Who? The church needs to be unified. Unified to what? When I put up that toilet roll holder, I know what I need to unify and I know where I need to drill that hole. In fact, somebody at the 9 o'clock service wanted me to make the illustration so well, they walked up with a small packet of screws and anchors for me to help the illustration. When I drill this into the hole, when I drill this into the wall, I want to know, this is what I'm putting up. This is the kind of screws I need. This is the kind of anchor point I need. This, I've got my stud finder, and I found the anchor point, and I know I've hit it. What needs to be anchored to who, and who needs to be anchored to what? Unity isn't kumbaya. It's strapping, binding together with resolve, not to allow anything to stop us in our cause. It's not going to wiggle loose later. It's not going to come off when we've used it too much, when we've gone to church a little bit too long and we've been doing it for 45 years and it's getting a bit boring now and it's starting to wiggle loose. No. This is something that is so tight, so precious to us, that we will not allow offense or discord to rob us of our resolve for the cause. So what did I know that I'm not going to get that kind of resolve from just binding together with you every Sunday morning. Because I need to have that kind of resolve Monday through Saturday. And I know I'm not going to get that kind of resolve from binding together with the early church or the late church. I said on Wednesday, there's the early church, and then there's the church of the Latter-day Saints. So you either go to church early or later. Oh, come on, that was a bad pastor dad joke, right? I laughed at myself all the way when I cracked that joke to myself. Anyway, so I need to know who is bound to what, is united with what. We know the church is not a social club. We're not here to be bound together to be in a social club. We know the church is not a place. It's not a group meeting. It's not a drive-through pick-me-up. We know that church means a whole lot more. Church is not just a set of rules. Rules bring about fear, and fear is going to cause us not to want to be united to anything that causes us fear. Trust me, I was brought up in a religious environment where I was only bound together out of fear. And as soon as I got over my fear, I knew that I didn't need to be bound to that anymore. And so what I need to do is I need to figure out, well, what then if the church is to be united to something, who is the church? It's you. It's me. So the who needs to be bound to what is, if the church is only as powerful and as united and as bound together as the average of its members, I need to look at myself. You need to look at yourself individually and say, okay, how united, how bound together am I to this resolve, personally? And when we can up our game as regards being bound together into this united, whatever we're united with, well, then we'll understand and the collective will lift its game and all of a sudden Satan doesn't stand a chance and Jesus can return. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 is very clear. I need to get with Jesus before he can return. He's waiting for his bride to be ready before he comes back to marry her. So we've got to put on our makeup. We've got to get dressed. We've got to get ready. We've got to get our stuff together. And we've got to be ready to go. Not letting our oil burn out, but having enough oil. We've got to be ready. And Jesus hasn't come back yet. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen him on the clouds. Not even on iCloud. I haven't seen him come back. I haven't seen all knees bend and tongues confess yet. So we've got some stuff to do. And the only way we're going to get that right is if we individually look at ourselves before we look around and judge others. And so the church needs to be united to. We don't just say we're united. Because when everybody says the word united in church, I hear vaguely in the distance, kumbaya playing. You know, I go on a men's camp, and man, they're such good men. Oh, I had such a good time. I just felt like I was one of the boys. And then next week, he's parked in my parking bay, and the same guy I shared my guts with over a fire, I'm now wanting to throw a punch at. If we don't know what we are bound to, if we don't know that we've hit the stud, we're going to wiggle loose. So I need to know, what do we need to be united with? So I wrote this down. If you go following in the notes, this is what I wrote. There is a unity that we need to achieve that far surpasses getting along with some friends on a Sunday or participating in other churches' activities and praying for them. Now, please, I'm not saying that any of those things are bad. But it's not the thing that we need to be united with to remain bound to our resolve. That's the screw or the anchor or the bracket. Those things all help, but if we don't hit the stud, we're going to wiggle loose. I'm never going to be bound to resolve just feeding off you guys. I only see you once every week. I'm not going to be bound to resolve attending an ecumenical all-church prayer meeting, because those happen once every now and then. There's got to be something more that I need to be bound to. The ultimate unity that the church, you, needs to achieve is that of unity with Jesus. Our stud is Jesus. And he's got certain principles, certain things that he's taught that are in place. And as we journey through the wall of life, we're going to find that they're pretty regular. They're there. I can't change the stud that says, there is no condemnation for those in Jesus Christ. I don't get to change that and anchor what I want to whatever Jesus kind of I've manipulated to be. No, the anchor is there. There is no condemnation for those in Jesus Christ. It's not for Jesus to try and be united with us. It's for us to adapt to what Jesus has put down as the anchor. We don't live our lives trying to figure out what we believe. Jesus has told us what we believe, and now we live our lives accordingly. Does that make sense? And so when we have a look around, most of the time we have anchored to religion. Religion is not unity with Jesus Christ. In fact, when we try and unite ourselves to a bunch of human man-made laws, we toss out the unifying effect that the Holy Spirit brings to us. Now, here's the deal. Whenever I apply my own understanding and reason to a situation, I'm coming up with opinion. And how many of you know that when you apply your reason and your understanding to that very self-same situation, you're going to come up with a different opinion? And by very nature, when we try and apply our wisdom, our own wisdom and our own understanding to a situation, we come up with our own opinion, we are in fact being disunited. We are, in fact, losing our unity. Look around you. Sitting in this room, we have different political opinions. We have different opinions on gender issues. We have different opinions. And when we apply our opinion, our understanding, our wisdom, trust me, we're going to have a bun fight. And we haven't even got out of these four walls, let alone joined with all of the man-made opinions of the Baptist church down the road and the free church and the early church and the late church and whatever time you meet church. No wonder the church is so divided, because we've forgotten what we're supposed to be united with. We're trying to be united to our own opinion because that makes us feel good. Lean forward, I want to tell you a secret. Being united with Jesus is uncomfortable. He's not uniting us up with us to have a joyride. It's going to knock us. It's going to adjust us. I've got to find the, I might drill a few holes before I find the stud. I got some things I got to do. It's going to be uncomfortable. But when we try and make it comfortable, we're actually trying to unite against that with our own understanding and our own wisdom. And all we're doing is we're coming up with a difference of opinion. Religion is not unity with Christ. It's a set of rules based on your opinion. Ouch. Some churches have an opinion that we still have to wear robes to be holy. That's a set of rules. That's not Christ. But that's just my opinion. I can have a sold-out, Holy Spirit, Christ-filled man in a robe and be in unity with him if he's in unity with Jesus. And so laws need to be displaced by the unifying effect of revelation of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is God. And God speaks with one united voice. He doesn't tell you giving is better than receiving, and over here say, hey, receiving is better than giving. His Holy Spirit revealed anchor points, which were manifest through the personage of Jesus himself. The word, the anchor points, became so tangibly real in human psyche that the word, the anchor points, God's word, burst into our lives in the form of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what the anchor points are, you look at Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Come on, I'm preaching well here. I'm not preaching good. I'm preaching well. Much gooder and better than Frankie. The most supernatural thing that we're going to see since Jesus being on the planet is being Jesus on the planet. The most supernatural thing we can be involved with right now, the most supernatural phenomenon that's going to happen on this planet is a church that genuinely is in unity with Jesus so tangibly, so real, just like the word burst forth when Jesus first came, when we are in such tangible unity with Jesus that unity will burst forth again in the presence of Jesus returning. Oh, come on. But it's going to take us getting ourselves oriented towards that unity. We are involved in something that will blow your mind. The world is trying to get united. The world is trying to form pockets of people of like mind, and they're failing dismally because they're basing it on opinion. And you might be saying, is it possible that the church can be so united and so diverse at the same time? Supernaturally, yes. The only way it's going to be so welcoming and yet at the same time so correcting of people's behavior, where people are flocking to come to be corrected. Think about it. People are running away from discipline. They're running away from correction. But Jesus is so embracing, not us. We're judgmental. We're hypocritical. We push people away, right? Because we've got our own opinion of what you're going to look like before you can walk through the doors. And if you walk through the doors before you look like that, get your life together and then you can come in. That is just completely the other way around. We want you to come in so that you can get your life together because we don't want you walking in a space of chaos and lack of unity. We don't want you popping a hole in your wall here and popping a hole in the wall there and looking and hunting and seeking. We want to be a place where we can clearly identify the pillars of Jesus that you need to apply in your life to be anchored to your eternity. Now I'm preaching gooder. There's no way that the church can be so unified and so diverse, so welcoming and so correcting at the same time without the supernatural revelation of God through Jesus prompted by the Holy Spirit. If you're not with the Holy Spirit, you're actually not united with Jesus. Uh-oh. Because Jesus had a conversation with this guy called Nicodemus and said, listen, what does it mean to be truly walking in your kingdom? He says there's two baptisms you have to go through. Number one, you have to realize that I am Jesus. It's a water baptism. Number two, you have to realize that there's this thing called the Holy Spirit. And when you walk in your water baptism and your spirit baptism, that is when you are, Jesus' word, truly born again. Whoa. Oh, but the Holy Spirit was just for the apostles. Opinion. And immediately we have two schisms in the church. A whole bunch of people that teach the Holy Spirit was just for the apostles, and a whole bunch of people that vibrate across the floor every Sunday morning talking in tongues. You laugh. But 1 Corinthians 14:33 spits it out. It says it like this. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. Whoa. In other words, if we are a church of the chosen, the church of the saints, if we are the capital C church, the representation of Jesus Christ, we will not be giving birth to confusion, but we will be giving birth to peace. Isn't that what that scripture says? God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is in the churches of the saints. If there's confusion in your church, God is not there. Ouch. I'm not saying it. The screen is. Throw Rotten Tomatoes at the screen if you want to. And the very Greek word for confusion in that scripture is confusing. I'm going to try and get it out. Bear with me. I've been practicing. Akatastasia. Akatastasia. It's a con. You say that fast three times. Akatastasia. Akatastasia. The very word's confusing to pronounce, right? And here's what it means. Instability, disorder, commotion, confusion, riotous, disunity, tumultuous. The world is a whole bunch of akatastasia right now. And why? Because it's not of God. It's based on man's opinion. Man is trying to say, look at me, I know better than God. That happened before, and there was a whole bunch of confusion at that place. It was called the Tower of Babel. But of God means peace, irene, quietness, rest, exemption of rage, harmony between individuals, and prosperity. And we've already had a look at that word prosperity. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 22, we spoke about prosperity comes when we can be united in opening up our hearts to all, space for all, Rehoboth. Now we understand where grace is involved, there will be prosperity. Now we're seeing when we're united to Jesus, there will be prosperity. You want to grow the church? You want the church to be prosperous? You need to know that you are commissioned, equipped, active, and finally united with Jesus. The church's prosperity is found in unity with Jesus. And the fruit of our unity with Jesus is the harmony that exists with all who are looking for Jesus. Not the found. I couldn't give a rip if I see you next week. Ouch. I don't want to see your faces for the rest of my ministry. I want to see the hurting faces. I want to see the faces with pain etched on them and see their faces find unity with Jesus and watch him transform that pain, that anger, that hurt, that resentment, that bitterness, that addiction into freedom and peace and prosperity. Those are the faces that the church is to be ready to receive. I went to church today, you know. Bully for you. Well done, you united freak. Who did you take to be united with Jesus in your journey? Let me tell you something. I get to the gas station, and I love the America. You guys have got so much options. In South Africa, we'd go into the local store. There'd be like two shelves of bread. Yeah, in Sam's Club, you can walk for like 4.5 miles of options of bread. You go to the gas station, you get normal gas, semi-normal gas, and out of this world gas. You know what I'm talking about? And I go on the long trip, and I so badly want to put that supernatural, incredible gas in. The one with the top price. As I go towards the button, I can hear my car going, oh, yes, please. The Ford just goes, oh, yes, give me that gas. And I look at the price and I go, not on my watch. Yeah? Let me tell you something. If you want some energy in the church, bring some new believers in. It's like supernatural gas. Yeah, you want to see some passion. Bring some first love into this place. Watch lives being transformed. Man, I got on fire this morning because somebody walked up to me and said, you know what? What you taught me, what you prayed for me on Wednesday, I'm seeing my life has changed. I go, hallelujah, that's what we're about. Yeah? I want some of that supernatural gas, not this old school regular stuff that you guys bring in every single week. I'm joking. I want some new love, some new blood that is excited, because you know what happens? Everything fires better when we're doing what the church is designed to do. Everything works better. And I'm not talking about old God going away and only having the new God. Scripture warns about giving leadership roles to the new believers. But I'm talking about combining old wisdom with new passion. Because when I have old wisdom and new passion, I get momentum. You with me? And so I know, I don't know which illustration is better, the gas one or the honeydew list one. I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. And so when we have a look at the scripture, is Luke 11 says this. And Jesus was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, and he was speaking around demonic and offending the Holy Spirit. Now, if binding ourselves to the Holy Spirit is what will enable us to be united to Jesus, I'm going away, we're going to get to that. But if binding ourselves and listening to the Holy Spirit, if we offend or push away the Holy Spirit, we are in fact no longer in unity with Jesus, and we're going to lose that sense of united peace in our lives. Amen? And so Jesus, knowing our thoughts, says to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every kingdom that is divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against itself will not stand. How many denominations do we have in the United States alone? How many opinions do we have about rapture? How many prophets have come along and gone? How many times I was taught, 1975, get ready, Armageddon's coming. No. Maybe George Orwell was right, 1984. Look it up. Maybe the Mayans were right. Maybe 2000, the millennium bug. Maybe Jesus is coming back in a crashed IBM. How many opinions have come that have caused division and caused this beautiful thing called the church to crumble? Thousands of churches every year close their doors. And they're the most bound together body. They love each other internally. They love other churches in their town, but they still have to close their doors. Why? Because they've lost sight of being united through the Holy Spirit with Jesus. And so Jesus, knowing this, he understood that he had to get out of here so that the Holy Spirit could come. Because even while he was on earth, people were coming to him and saying, John preaches this about you. Is that true? Is it not true? He already knew that the human psyche, if he remained on the earth much longer, the point that he came to make wouldn't have been made, because we would have put our own opinions together and he would have lost his impact. He knew he had to get out of here. He didn't even call himself the Messiah the whole time it was called. It's called the Messianic Secret. He never called himself the Messiah because he didn't want people confusing him with a physical earthly Messiah king. So he never called himself the Messiah. He didn't want confusion. He wanted people to be in relationship with the Father by seeing him. And when his time was done on earth, he said, hey, I'm going to start a new age that's going to bring you all into unity and not cause division. It's called the church. You can read about it in Acts chapter 2. It was the very next thing that happened in Scripture after Jesus left. The church was formed. Jesus knew of the schisms, the divisions, the theologies, and all the opinions that would divide his church. So he had to leave his last will and testimony. He had to leave the ability for people to know that, hey, I am going to be united with my church and my church is going to be united with me. Unity meant a desire to join together no matter our differences and be united in worship with Jesus. And so, in John chapter 16, verse 5 to 15, he promises this advocate called the Holy Spirit. And in verse 13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring Jesus glory. When human understanding is involved in the church, we will always have division. But when the Holy Spirit revelation comes, there is always going to be unity. And so Jesus has this massive prayer just before he dies. The most incredible incredible set of scriptures you could ever want to read is when he goes and he has a conversation with his disciples, and after having a conversation with his disciples, you can almost hear in his heart putting together a list of things he needs to pray to the Father about. And in John chapter 16, he has this conversation with them. And then in verse 17, he prays for them. So here he is having this conversation, listening to what they need, and then promising them the Holy Spirit. And then he goes away, and in chapter 17 of John, he prays. What does he pray? The first thing he prays? Father God, I pray that all disciples, not just the apostles, but anybody who listens to their teaching, may be one. Just as I am one with you, I am in you and you are in me. So let it be with my disciples. He wants to bring us into him so that we can be brought into the presence of the Father. I don't know about you, but for those of you in the room who have already given your life to Jesus and stepped into this relationship with the Father, my life is much better when I'm in Jesus, because Jesus is in the Father. I don't know what that looks like tomorrow. I don't know what I've got to say tomorrow. I don't know what I've got to do tomorrow with that. And that's why Jesus says, don't get confused. Remain united in me. I'm going to send you an advocate, a helper, to remain united in me so that you can be in the Father. How cool is the church when it functions on the unity of the Holy Spirit? How cool is Jesus' grace when prompted, as somebody walks past you in the lobby, to chase after them and pray with them, because that's what the Holy Spirit asked you to do. And right there in the car park, even though the lines are all skew and the bays are all too narrow, Jesus breaks forth into the presence of that prayer and a life is changed. How cool is that? When the church can fire on this kind of unity, where the total of its individual's unity in Jesus makes the sum of that unity a powerhouse, bound together, resolved to demonstrate people Jesus so that they can be in union with him and therefore in union with the Father. But if it's the sum of what we are, surely we need to check ourselves. Surely it's not about what the pastor can do, what the staff can do. Surely there are some things that I need to check if I'm in unity with. If you're sitting this morning and you're depressed about who you are not in unity with Jesus. Ouch. If you're upset about your marriage because your wife is just the biggest, you're not in unity with Jesus. If you're sitting there thinking that somebody else does not deserve to be in this room, you're not in unity with Jesus. If you're judging somebody else because of their behavior, you're not in unity with Jesus. You can call yourself a Christian all day long. Church, start believing and acting like we are in unity with the teachings of Jesus. The biggest ability that we have to teach others of Jesus is to walk out the teachings of Jesus in our own lives. And then we'll begin to be in unity with Jesus. Three prime areas that over the next three Wednesdays, we're going to challenge each other on as regards how we can personally be in unity with Jesus. Have a look at this. The first is this. We are to be in unity with Jesus at the cross. When he died, he said, pick up your cross. We need to understand that it wasn't just Jesus who went to the cross. We went to the cross because we are in Jesus. And when we have a look at that scripture in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, he canceled every record that contained charges against us and charges against others. If you're holding something in your heart against your brother, you're not in unity with Jesus. At the cross, he took care of that charge. Put it down. No more shame, no more condemnation, no more self-loathing, no more judgment of others, no more inferiority complexes, no more worthlessness, no more sense of being punished by God, no more generational curses. Whoa. There might be generational consequences. Dad drinks, son drinks, grandson drinks. But that's not a generational curse. Jesus Christ took care of that at the cross. If you are bound to a generational curse, you are not in unity with what Jesus did at the cross. Oh, it's just a generational curse I'm trying to break, you know. You don't have to try nothing. That's your opinion. Jesus has already done it. It's an anchor point. Drill yourself into it and get in unity with him. We've got to be in unity at the cross. We've got to be in unity with him at the resurrection. How many of you realize that if we're walking around without purpose, without power, without passion, we're not in unity with Jesus? What do you mean? Death can't even stop Jesus wanting to work with you. So can you stop letting your next door neighbor stop you? Death won't even stop your eternal life. So will you start living the life that Jesus has given you? Not, oh, I'm running out of time, you know. You have all the time in the world. If you don't do it on earth, you'll do it in heaven. You will never die. I'm running out of time, but I feel like I've got this unsung song in my heart. Oh, how poetic. Sing it in heaven. You'll worship him for eternity in heaven with that song. So go and sing it in heaven. You don't have to do it for 70, Greg. What about 75 and 85? And what about my asthma and my... You're not in unity with the resurrected Jesus Christ if you're bound to the things of the flesh. He showed that his flesh could die, but that he would still live. That's why it says in Scripture, die to your flesh so that you may have life in the Spirit. Just as I died to the flesh and had life in the Spirit. You're not living with purpose and passion. Man, you got to get in union with the resurrection of Jesus. And then finally, we're going to get in unity with the ascension of Jesus. Why? Because on all three things, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, Jesus said that you are experiencing it with him. You have died at the cross. Praise Jesus. But I don't live there. That's step one of unity. Oh, well, you know, Craig, if you deny the cross, where's the cross in our church? Where's the throne in our church? Where's the empty grave in our church? All three are just as important as regards being in unity with Jesus. The cross is a symbol. It's an opinion. It's not a stud. What Jesus did on the cross is the stud. What Jesus did by the word resurrecting him and the Holy Spirit and God the Father doing a miraculous, incredible work gives you purpose and passion. And finally, by being resurrected and raised to the heavens, you were raised with him, seated at the right hand of God. Even Stephen, at his death, looked unto heaven, saw Jesus, the risen King, standing there, welcoming him in because he knew him. He was already seated there. The ultimate of intercessory prayer happens in heaven because we have a risen King. Jesus looks at his Father all the time and says, hey, Zach, I know you. Father, I know him. Look, he's seated at our right hand. Man, that gets me up in the morning. It says, hey, let's do this. Let's get going. Let's do this incredible work that Jesus has called me to do. And when we can get united with his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension, man, we'll be a church on fire. Because you know why? The Holy Spirit's going to remind you of the unity you need to have with those three things. Why? So that you can be in the Father. Church, listen to me. We're not going to be successful against the devil because we give you the right words to say or the right things to do. Those are plastic. They'll work loose. They're not screwed into the stud. They're not tight. They're not in unity with the teachings of Jesus. For the church to become what Jesus needs it to be, each one of us needs to shamelessly chase after our relationship with God through the presence of Christ living in us and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. We are commissioned. We are equipped. We are activated. This is the church that Jesus is looking for. Stand with me right now. Stand with me as we pray and go before the Lord and say, I am the church. I am in unity with Jesus. And when I and my neighbors all work together to have this all-encompassing encompassing renewal of Jesus make its way into my life, seeping into every nook and cranny of who I am. Every shadow, every part I've hidden from God, every word I've never spoken, every thought I've packed away. Jesus is cleaning. Jesus is washing. Why? Not because he sees you as a dirty, rotten scoundrel, but he sees you dying to flesh, risen with purpose, and passionate about the supernatural future that we have as a kingdom. So with every hand raised, cast your vote in the room today with your hand. We vote for Jesus. We vote for the King and his kingdom. We vote for a party that is happening in heaven that has started in 33 AD. We don't need a political party. We have a supernatural one going on in our hearts. We don't need some organization that we kind of hit and miss with every now and then. We need the teachings, the stud, the word of Jesus to cling on to. This is our future. And as a result of that vote, thank you, Han. As a result of that vote, next week we'll be starting a series, live preaching. All three of us will be preaching. Frankie, Joey, and myself. It's a message that's been crafted by pastors together from all over Victory Life Church. We'll start that message next week. It's called Jesus Over Everything. Jesus Over Everything. I fly Jesus' flag before I fly any other plane. Am I making sense? So I want to encourage you, church. As the worship team just leads us, I want you to press in any which way you can. Prayer team, can I have you come forward, please? If you want prayer, if you made a commitment in your heart today to say, oh, I'm still suffering with depression. I'm still suffering with a sense of anxiety in my life. I need to bind together a little bit more with what happened with Jesus. Whether it was a cross, a tree, it doesn't matter. Jesus died for me, and I died with him. But on the third day, I was resurrected, a new spirit-filled being that had an eternal future. If that's the first time in your life you've ever actually said, you know what? I need to acknowledge Jesus in my life. I need to ask the Holy Spirit, because I can't give you a set of rules that you need to go through to have Jesus united with Jesus. The Holy Spirit has to tell you what you need to do individually. If this is the first time you've ever thought of saying, yes, I need to make a public statement about being a believer. Maybe you've just kind of been like a little pebble in the stream, just bouncing along. Yes, I'm Christian. But you've never wanted to be united with Jesus to this level. But today you desire that. With every head bowed and eye closed, and here's the people. That's you today. Just shoot your hand up and say, yes, I receive the unity of myself with Jesus today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to pray with you. We can all pray this together. Let's pray together. Say that after me. Father God, I've never really known you, but today I decide the power of Jesus Christ in my life to get to know you better. I've been trying things my own way, but from today, I'm going to do them your way. Jesus, you are my King. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to do everything I can to find out what I've got to do to show you that your love for me means everything to me. And I pray this now, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hands went up all over the room. Let's give an excited applause for those lives changed. Maybe that wasn't the first time you gave your life to Jesus. Maybe you made a commitment today. Maybe you made a decision today. Maybe, hey, I need to understand the cross a bit better. Come on Wednesday. Hey, I need to understand this resurrection thing a bit better. Come next Wednesday. Hey, I need to receive this ascension thing, risen to the right hand of God. What is that? Come the following Wednesday. Because that's what we're going to be discussing. Big circle, lots of books, lots of Google. We're going to find out what it means. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together as we leave. Father God, we thank you that we are your church. We stand at the beginning of an incredible journey of uniting ourselves with you. Father God, this is the last stretch that the church needs to be in before your return. We're excited to be a part of this final step towards seeing you come back on the clouds. Father, we can't wait to get started in this final step of being united with you, marriage to you, united with you in all that we are and all that we do. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Give a shout of praise. Praise and worship team will just play us out. Thank you so much for being with us today. I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. You be blessed and have an incredible week.